Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Amen. There's a few things that we're going to talk about at the end of the service as far as like some things coming up I want to make sure you know about. But right now I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 5. Now, I'm going through my message, my sermon series called Everyday Battles. Everybody say Everyday Battles. Everyday Battles. Again, this week I feel like I've been through one of those battles. Anybody feel it? I feel like spiritually, emotionally, physically, I've been through those battles. There are decisions that we face every single day that we have to make a decision about one way or the other. Some of them are not so serious. Like, what should I have for breakfast? Should I have cereal or should I have toast? Should I have a bagel? Should I have eggs? Should I have Jack's or should I have a Cracker Barrel? Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, never mind. But then we have the question, what should I wear? Now, see, some of us, we got that figured out because our wives pick it out the night before. Come on. They pick it out the night before. Or maybe you're one of those that picks it out the night before. We have decisions that we have to make. Those battles that we go, okay, should I wear this shirt or that shirt? I got up this morning, and I'll be honest with you, I walked in there, and I vacillated between a couple of different outfits and decided on this. Hopefully it's going to work. But the thing is, you got to decide what you want to wear. Not so serious. Then some of us, we have to make the decision, should I go down that water slide even though I turned 50 years old this year? That's a face of a man who is wondering pondering that very question. And at least the only thing I didn't realize how goofy I looked. But some of us, we wonder about that. Then others are more difficult. Maybe they require some extra effort. Should I go to the gym today or not? Come on now. That's not a question for me. I'm sleeping, y'all. Should I go to the gym today or not? Or am I going to be able to put up with that coworker who gets on my nerves every single day? Come on. What am I going to do to get on their nerves today so that they can get some of what I'm getting? Then we have more spiritual decisions that we make every single day. This morning, you made the decision to get up and to be in God's house, and let me commend you for that. Because it doesn't matter how tired you are. It doesn't matter how your week's gone. It doesn't matter how rough it's been. It's always good to be in the house of God. If you want strength to go through this next week, if you want strength to go through the trials, and you want strength to go through the battles, you need to be in the house of God. Come on, somebody. You need to be in the house of God to be encouraged by one another, to be encouraged in the worship, to be encouraged by the word of God. Now, yeah, sometimes God steps on our toes and He cracks the whip on us and we get in trouble and we have to lay things down to the altar. But every time we get up from the altar, we should get up a little bit lighter and a little bit freer, a little bit better. Every single time we walk through these doors, we should come in with, today I'm going to give God my all and I'm going to walk out knowing Him a little bit better than I did when I walked in. So we have to make that kind of decision. And for some people, that's a battle. They lay in the bed, hit that snooze for the seventh time. Come on. Hit that snooze for the seventh time, and then they go, I guess I better get up and go. This week's decisions that might be made is choosing whether to witness to somebody in line at Walmart or not. Maybe another decision that you've got is choosing whether to be honest with the cashier who gives us too much change or whether to just keep it and count it as a blessing. Come on, that's not a blessing, that's dishonesty. Come on, are you with me? Again, character is what you do when nobody's watching. Character is what you do when nobody's watching. If you understand me, say, I do. Maybe another decision is choosing whether to give that person the old one-finger salute as they cut you off on the interstate. Some of y'all really felt that one. There was a pastor one time. Let me tell you a quick story. There was a pastor one time. He was driving to church. He was running late. And he was driving it, and I may have told it. If I have, pretend like you didn't and laugh. I didn't and laugh later. But as he was driving to church, he goes on, and he's driving around, and this guy cuts him off going down the road. And this pastor is so mad because he's running late. He's trying to get to the church, and he's sitting behind this guy, and he's driving behind him, and he's shaking his fist at him. But I can't believe you pulled out on me. You could have waited 2 seconds and I could have been by you and I could have been in my church and everything. And the thing is, the guy kept turning right in front of me. He was like, can't you just go on? Will you please just move? And he got all the way down, and it turns out he follows him all the way, and all of a sudden the guy pulls into his church. And he realizes it's somebody that has been going to the church for a short amount of time that he didn't recognize their car. He parked his car at his parking spot, got out, and looked at the brother that pulled in, who was getting out with his entire family, and he shook his fist in the air and said, I'm ready to praise God, brother. How about you? He covered it up as best as he could. You got to make that decision, y'all. You got to make the decision how you're going to treat people. How you going to treat people this week? And sometimes it's a battle. There are some people you don't want to treat very well. When we ask those questions, it's proof that there's a battle that is raging inside of us. Should I or shouldn't I? Should I go here or should I go there? Should I do this in my life? Should I do that? There are much more serious battles that you might be facing today. Some of those may be your decision whether you should forgive that person or not that wronged you years ago. We talked about that last week on Sunday night with Unforgiveness Penitentiary with Joe Phillips, which, by the way, wasn't he wonderful? He did such a great job. Maybe it's more serious. Maybe you've got to make the decision whether you're going to be faithful in your marriage because you've got an opportunity that has come up to step outside your marriage and nobody will ever find out. Nobody will ever find out what you did or who you did it with. So you got that opportunity and you're sitting there and you're struggling within yourself. And now our flesh is pulling us in one direction and our spirit is pulling us in the other direction. Anybody ever felt that before? My flesh does not like my spirit. My spirit does not like my flesh. They do not get along. They get in fist fights on a regular day, and I'm the one that ends up bloody. But the thing is, we have to make these decisions. Maybe you're trying to make a decision whether you're going to cheat on your taxes or not, and not give that and give a little bit of extra or deduction in this area, or you're not going to claim this over here. Maybe you've got a situation where you're trying to decide whether you're going to trust God or you're going to try to make it happen yourself. Anybody been there? Are you going to trust him or are you going to make it happen? We are being pulled in two completely different directions as if we have a piece of rope in each hand. As if we have a piece of rope in each hand and there's somebody on the other end and is pulling us in opposite directions. We're trying to hang on to them both. One side of our life is pulling us in this direction, pulling us towards God and pulling us towards what he wants for us, pulling us towards his destiny and his design for our life. And then on the other side, we've got our flesh that is sitting there going, yeah, but don't you like to do this? Don't you like to go out and party with the family? Don't you like to go out and party with your friends? Don't you like to find that wouldn't you like to find somebody that can make you feel as good as you can? And we sit there with two ropes, and we've got a piece of rope in each hand, and it's pulling us both directions. There is a spiritual tug of war. As if we have a piece and rope in each hand, someone's pulling us apart. Paul said it like this in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17 says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Everybody say walk. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Let's pray. Father God, today, I ask you to guide my words, guide my heart. Let my words be few and your words be powerful. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. There is a spiritual tug of war that happens on a regular basis. It happens in our lives on a regular basis, no matter how long We live for God. You could be serving God for 5 minutes or 50 years, and you will always have two opposing forces trying to pull you in two different directions. I don't care how long you've been saved. You could, like I said, you could have been saved 5 minutes or 50 years. If you are still on this earth, there is still a sin nature on the inside of us that draws you away from God and tries to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Paul said it this way: what I want to do, I don't do, but what I don't want to do, I do. It's his nature trying to pull against him, back and forth, back and forth. And we go back and forth, and we feel like we get a little closer to God. We get a little closer to God, and the next thing you know, our fleshly nature pulls us back over here, and our attitude goes wrong. What I'm here to encourage you today with is very simple. Let go of the rope. Everybody say, let go. Let go of the rope. Now, some of you may be going, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, Pastor, and it's going to by the end of the day. I want you to hang with me. It's not going to be very long, but I want you to hang with me. We've got two sides of the rope. Paul's first statement in this passage makes it very clear that there's a battle going on. He clearly lays out that the spirit and the flesh don't get along. You ever had somebody you didn't get along with? Maybe, but you had to be around. You had to get around them. Oh, Lord Jesus, can we just pray right now? Hallelujah. Because I've had those kind of people in my life. There are people that I've been around that I just did not get along with. Our personalities clashed. Things within us just did not get along. We did not get along together. Now, I don't know why, but they didn't like me. I didn't like them. We didn't go out to eat together. We didn't hang out together. We didn't even talk that much. We were cordial to each other. But the thing is, there's so much tension, it just, you can feel it in the air. This is what Paul is saying. Inside of yourself, when you have a decision to make to either go towards God or go towards your flesh, there is a battle that is waged that we have to fight. And it's pulling us one way or the other. He clearly lays out they don't get along, the spirit and the flesh. Galatians 5:17 says this: for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Our personal selfish nature in our lives is about self-gratification and self-indulgence and self-satisfaction. In this hand, we've got that rope that is connected to our flesh. We've got that rope that is connected. See, Paul further illustrates it with the works of the flesh. Later on in that chapter, he lists a big list of things. Of things that our flesh wants. Now, if you go down and read, you can read it later on. It says sexual immorality. For these are the works of the body, or works of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. These are what they call the pleasure sins. You need to pay attention to the list of that he puts down here. It encompasses a bunch of different things, and it gives us a little clarity. These are what he calls the pleasure sins. Where your satisfaction comes first. I'm going to get mine. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people do. I'm going to live my life the way that I want to live it. I want to make sure that I feel good. And that's all people care about. The flesh wants to make sure that it is satisfied and taken care of. I'm going to live my lifestyle the way that I want to. I'm going to sleep with who I want to. I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to act how I want to. As long as it makes me feel good, I'm going to do it. That is the flesh. If you're with me, say I am. That is the flesh. Then he says, idolatry and sorcery. These are the religious sins. That's where we put our will above God's will. The works of the flesh puts our will above God's will. Where we become religious and we go, well, you know what? God didn't really mean that. That doesn't match up with my lifestyle, so God doesn't mean that. Or we go, you know what? This event in my life is more important than spending time with God. This event in my life is more important than me spending time with Him and getting to know Him. It's okay if I neglect my relationship with God. It's okay if I neglect my Bible today. It's okay if I neglect my prayer time. It's okay if I put something else above God, because you know what? He understands me. Anybody ever felt that way or had to deal with that battle? Where we put things above God, that's the religious sins. the religious things in our lives that we let take place. Then it says enmity, strife, jealousy. That enmity means hate, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. These are what we call the people sins. How we treat others. The works of the flesh on how we treat others. When we let our emotions take control. Where we do give that one finger salute. Where we do chew somebody out. Where we do talk about somebody behind their back. And when it says divisions right there, there's another word in the King James that says heresies. And when it says heresies, it's not talking about wrong teachings, but it's taking your opinion and making it law. It's taking your opinion and equating it with Scripture. And holding it above anyone else's because you can't be wrong. That's what that actually means. Are you with me? Is this making sense today? This is not a fluffy pat you on the head, say, you're a good little boy, you're a good little girl, you're doing great. This is not one of those messages today. This is one where we need to look and see where we're being pulled. And then it says drunkenness and orgies or revelries. These are the social sins, casting off restraints, limiting ourselves, or the limitations to ourselves. Romans 12 and 13, he says it this way, let us cast off the works of darkness. These are things that we used to do. That's what he's talking about when he says drunkenness and orgies. It doesn't mean a sexual escapade. What that means is crazy living is what that means. This is where the human nature side of us is pulling us on this side of the rope. That's where he wants us to go. Some of y'all are going, well, I'm doing pretty good. I don't go out drinking. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't run with those that do. So I'm doing pretty good. No, but how's your attitude towards your family? How's your pride doing? How's the issues you have with the people in your past that have hurt you? How's that hatred and that bitterness that you deal with? As long as it feels good, do it. It's just the way it is. See, that's what our fleshly nature tells us. As long as it feels good, do it. And that's what the world tells us today. As long as it makes you feel good, as long as you feel good about yourself, if it makes you feel good to act like a cat and tell everyone you're a cat, then you're a cat. If it makes you feel good to bark like a dog and tell everybody you're a dog, bark like a dog and make everybody call you a dog and make them call you so whatever you want you to do. Listen, I know this is crazy and I know that, but that is the society that we live in. Where self-satisfaction is more important than godly living and spirit-led living. Where we're led by the flesh to where we feel better about ourselves just because we feel good about what we're doing. Are you with me? Does this make sense? I don't want to belabor a point, but I want to make sure that we understand that this rope, this fleshly desire on the inside of us is pulling us to the side. See, today, the fleshly side will sit there and say, the Bible says you can't judge me. They'll even use Scripture to judge or to back up what they do. The Bible says you can't judge me for how I live. You can't judge me for living an alternative lifestyle. You can't judge me for acting the way that I do. You can't judge me for living with somebody outside of marriage. You can't judge me for having an alcohol problem. You can't judge me for the way that I speak to somebody. You can't judge me for my job. You can't judge me for how I live my life. The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. And what I would say to that is I am not judging you. What I'm doing is the Word of God. I'm showing you the Word of God and what the Word of God says about your life. It says, you can't judge me. God says He loves me no matter who I sleep with or what lifestyle I lead. I know I'm right about this issue and you can't tell me any different. See, that has nothing to do with the sexual sins. That has nothing to do with it. That has to do with pride and has to do with your internal issues. That fleshly issue of I'm right, you're wrong, and you better come across to my side or we're never going to get along. We've lost the ability to disagree and get along. Are you with me? See, all the while we hold on to the rope that is our fleshly nature, and it pulls us around, leading us further and further away from where the Spirit wants us to go. When we give our lives to Christ, we cannot continue to allow the flesh to lead us where it wants to take us. I love what one preacher said. I found it during my studies. He said this, the grace, see, we're all under grace. How many of you are under grace in here? We're under grace. We've been forgiven. We don't deserve the forgiveness. But it says, the grace that does not change my life will not change my soul. You can accept God's grace all day long, but if you're still holding on to the fleshly rope, there's a problem because you're letting it lead you. You're letting your fleshly nature tell you how to live your life. Because God has called you to something new. He's called you to something fresh. He's called you to let go of the rope. Are you with me? Say, let go. He's called you to let go of the rope. And we fight and we fight and we fight with that fleshly nature. Listen, when I was younger, there was issues in my life that I fought with day and night. And I would fight and I would hang on to that rope and I would fight with that fleshly nature, looking at things I'm not supposed to do, saying things I'm not supposed to say, being around people I'm not supposed to be around, doing all these things. And I'm sitting there holding on to that rope and I'm trying to force my fleshly nature to come with me. But I keep getting pulled further and further and further away from God because I kept holding on to the rope. Listen to me. Paul says that all those that practice these things, that list of things that we just talked about, all those that practice, when it says practice, it means puts into action. Those that persist in accepting these things as a part of their lives will not see heaven. We live in a world that says, hey, you just love God, and do what you feel is right, and just tell God that you ask for forgiveness, and you say that Jesus is Lord, and you'll go to heaven. Wrong. This is a constant lifestyle change that has to happen. The Bible says that he who is in Christ is a new creation. That means that something has to change. You can't remain the same as you were when you came down to the altar. You can't remain the same way. You can't have the same habits. Now, yes, it takes time to break those habits because eventually you have to get rid of that fleshly nature. But it is possible. When we walk in the flesh and are led by the desires, it leads us further and further away from the inheritance that God has prepared for us. I'd hate to go before God and miss heaven simply because I wouldn't let go of a rope. Everybody say, let go. Now see, on the other hand, we have a different rope. We have a rope that is attached to the spirit nature. To the Spirit of God. When we walk in the Spirit, that Spirit of God leads us in another direction. He's trying to pull us closer to God and closer to His presence. The Bible says that the Spirit of God convicts. Convicts means that it draws close. It means that it shows situations in our lives that we need to change. And it convicts us of those, and we get rid of them when we draw closer to God. Amen? Are you with me? That's what we're supposed to do. When we give our lives to Christ, there's another rope that is put into our hands. Paul gives us a list of what that looks like to walk in the Spirit. Down in verses 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In every single one of those things, none of those have to do with the selfish nature. It's all about somebody else. We're supposed to love others. Here at Calvary Temple, we love God, love people, and make disciples. That's all we're about. There's a reason why Paul started with love, because if everything is not built on love, then it's going to fall apart. We need to start with loving people, not changing them. We need to start with loving people, not pointing out their faults. We need to start with loving people, not judging how they dress. We need to start with loving people, not telling them how they need to live their life. There's situations that we have to go through where we need to love people through their situations and through the ugliness that they have. See, love is in the, I love the fact that it compares these two lists with works versus fruit. See, it said the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. I love the fact that it uses those two words. The reason why is because work is something that is brought about by effort. Work is brought about by effort. Fruit is birthed by just being connected to the right source. Are you with me? You can sit here and you can say, listen, here, I've got the flesh over here, and I've got some things that I want to get done. So I want to make sure that my pleasure is taken care of. And you do all these works to make sure this pleasure is taken care of. But then on the spiritual side, as long as you are connected to the right source, the word says that if you abide in me and I abide in you, well, you will what? Bear much fruit. If we abide in him and are connected to the right things, we're going to be abiding and we're going to be bringing out more fruit on this side. It's going to be birthed inside of us. Are you with me? It's through that connection with the Spirit of God, that leading and guiding Spirit changes our lives. Psalm 65:4 says, "Blessed is the one you choose to bring near, to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple." Do you know God chose you to be connected to the Spirit? He chose you. I don't know what's going on with this thing. He chose you to make a difference. He chose you to be changed. You're not here by accident. We've got a tagline here at Calvary Temple that says, "You belong here," and you do belong here. You belong here because God has called you here, because he has brought you here for a reason, for such a time as this. I remember Brother Frank, he was telling me, he was actually thinking about moving. I wasn't even planning on talking about this, but he was thought about moving a little while back. But he got to thinking, and he felt like God told him, "You're supposed to be here. You are supposed to be here to help carry out the vision that I have for this church. You're going to be a part of it." He chose you to be connected here. You didn't happen to just walk into this room. Are you with me? Paul's very simple yet powerful truth is simply this: let go of the rope. I told you it wasn't going to take long. See, this whole time I've been talking about tug of war. Anybody ever played tug of war? I love tug of war. It was a whole lot of fun when I was younger. Now that I'm my age now, no, not so much. We used to play it when I was in elementary school. We would get on each side of the rope. We'd start pulling. And see, the normal way of doing tug of war is that you have one long rope that goes all the way across. It goes all the way across the area that you're going to be pulling against each other. One rope that is connected going all the way across. We played tug of war a few weeks ago at youth camp. I was at youth camp with over 700 students. God help me. We had a blast. And I've actually got video footage and pictures of DJ and some of the other students in the mud. Casey, in the mud, because they were doing tug of war over a mud, or while they were standing in a mud pit. And let me just tell you something. After you spend an entire week with 700 teenagers, and some of them don't know how to use a shower very well, and that mud and that water has been in that thing all week, stagnant and stale, that's a smell, y'all. But they were standing in there, and there was one long rope. There was a piece of tape around the middle of it that when they got it to a certain place, there was declared a winner. That's the normal way of playing tug of war. I hate to tell you, we lost that day. But that's okay. We didn't win a whole lot that week at all. But that's the normal way of playing. Everyone gets tired and they're spent. And it's a question of strength. Now I want to go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the... Do you notice something? It doesn't talk about your strength. It doesn't talk about your ability. It doesn't talk about what you can do. It's all about the power of the Spirit and walking by the Spirit. See, this is what they call a cause and effect statement. There's other cause and effect statements. I want you to notice that it says nothing about your strength as a follower of Christ. It doesn't give any qualifications for your victory other than walk by the Spirit. The cause is walk by the Spirit, and the effect is you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You see, this isn't a, if you're strong enough. Come on. It's not if you're strong enough, you won't do the desires of the flesh. If you read your Bible enough, then you're not going to. You're not going to do the desires of the flesh. It says if you walk by the Spirit, if you are led. See that word walk, if you go back to the original meaning, it is led or being guided. If you are guided and led by the Spirit, then you're not going to fall into the traps of the flesh that draw you away from God. Are you with me? And see, that's where we as Christians make a mistake. See, our choice of who is leading our decisions in our lives determines the outcome of what shows up in our lives. Our choice determines our direction. We have a lot of Christians who are frustrated with their lives because they're being pulled in two different directions. They want to serve God, and they are connected to God. They go to church. They might read their Bible every now and then. They might even show up on a Wednesday night for a Bible study. Lord, bless them. They may pray every now and then. But then there's still a fleshly side of them that they've refused to let go. And see, that's the problem we as Christians have. We want to hold on to God, and we want to. But the thing is, when we have problems with our flesh, instead of realizing that our flesh is trying to pull us away, what we try to do is we try to force our flesh to come with us. Think about this for a minute. We try to force that flesh to become spiritual. Can I let you know something? The flesh on the inside of you is never going to agree with the Spirit of God. The flesh will continually pull you away. It will continually make an excuse for your sin. It will excuse you for doing the things that you do. It'll say you've got a right to hold on to a grudge. It'll say it's your body, do with it what you want. It'll say you live your life how you want to live it, and don't let anybody tell you different. That's what the flesh will tell you. It's never going to tell you, you know what, the Spirit's right. You need to go ahead and get rid of that relationship that is pulling you away from God. The flesh is never going to do that. But we're sitting there trying to pull while we're still trying to hold on to God. And we don't understand something. Eventually, we need to get to the point, the only way to win against the flesh is to let go. Because then, when you let go of your will, when you let go of your desire, when you let go of self-gratification and selfishness, that's when you can reach over and create a new connection with the Spirit. And it's through that Spirit that is going to be, that the fruit is going to be birthed in your life. Are you wondering why you're not birthing any fruit? Are you wondering why you're having problems with your patience and with your love and with your kindness? Maybe you're still connected to your flesh too much, and you need to connect with the vine again. You need to connect with the Spirit again. Are you with me? See, years ago, when I first got saved, and I'm closing right here, when I first got saved, I thought that one day I'm going to get strong enough to where I'm not going to be tempted by sin again. I really did. I thought that was the case. But then as I grew, I read this, Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I learned I've got to sever the connection. See, again, when I was young, I thought it would get easier. Saying no to sin and walking with God, I thought it'd be a whole lot easier. Living in obedience to the Spirit and following God's word, yeah, I'm going to reach a point when I'm 30 years old, I've been walking with God 15 years, and I'm not going to be tempted by those pornographic websites. I'm not going to be tempted to go out drinking with my buddies. I'm not going to be tempted to cuss people out. I'm not going to be tempted to treat people wrong. I don't do any of that, okay? I don't want to let you know. But it doesn't mean that I'm not tempted. You know why? Because I'm still human. I'm still on this earth. And as long as I'm here on this earth, the devil's going to try to put things in my way that are going to draw me away. The flesh is still alive in me. I thought there'd be a day where I wouldn't be desire to sin. I wouldn't be tempted to sin. I'd be so full of God that there wouldn't be room for me. The whole "you must increase and I must decrease" thing. Can I tell you something? I've been serving God now for 34 years. Got saved when I was 16 years old. And for 34 years, every single day, I have to crucify my flesh. I love the fact that it uses the word crucify, because it reminds us of the cost that Christ paid for our sin. It reminds me that the pain that he went through so that I could be free from the fleshly nature. I still haven't reached it, church. I don't know one person on this earth who has got it all figured out. Every day I have to make a choice. I either drop the rope and sever my connection with the flesh, or I stubbornly fight the battle on my own and I get ripped apart. On the days I drop the rope, the Holy Spirit draws me ever closer to Jesus and His love. The more the fruit of the Spirit is evident in my life when I drop that rope, and the stronger I feel and the more like Jesus I become. When I wake up the next morning, though, can I tell you something? When I wake up the next morning, as soon as I wake up, I look over and there's another rope in my hand. Because the flesh doesn't give up. The flesh crawls off of that cross that we crucify it to and takes that rope and lays it in our hand again and says, "Can you do it again? Can you stand with me today?" Sometime during the night, my fleshly nature, although I crucify it, deny it, fight against it, it has crawled back over to me and put the rope right back in my hand. This is why Jesus said this word daily in Luke 9:23. He said, and he said to all, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily, I have to let go of the rope. Daily, I have to crucify that flesh. Daily, I have to make decisions that are godly. Daily, I have to say, I'm going to win this battle, but I'm not going to win it by fighting against my flesh. I'm going to win it by letting go of my flesh. Only by letting go of the flesh can we really connect with the Spirit. The winner of the spiritual tug of war between our relationship with the Spirit and our inward nature of fulfilling selfish desires is decided when we release one side to create a stronger connection with the other. When we connect with the Spirit and with Jesus, abiding in the vine is when the powerful, nourishing, reproducing fruit of the Spirit will be birthed in our lives. Last time, let go of the rope. Stop fighting with your flesh and trying to make it submit to the Spirit. Let it go and turn to the Spirit and just submit yourself.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.